fear can cause us to miss out on a lot of experiences in life. Fear can also cause us to do things that we normally would not do or act in a way that we would normally not act. Years ago, Kim and I were down at the beach, down at Cape May, New Jersey, for a time down there. It's been years now. But one of the things, if you've ever been to Cape May, besides the beautiful architecture of the buildings in downtown Cape May, one of the things that Cape May is known for is this lighthouse, the famous Cape May Lighthouse. And people travel and people go there, especially if they like lighthouses, and take pictures of it. And this lighthouse has stairs in a way that you can take walk all the way to the top and have the view where it stands on the point between the Delaware Bay and the ocean, right at the point, and you can look out over, and the view is gorgeous, so they say. So we heard about that, and we thought, we're going to go down, and we're going to visit the Cape May Lighthouse when we were there. So we did, and we went down, and we're walking around the grounds. It was a beautiful lighthouse. We got some pictures. So we decide we're going to go to the top. So I have a fear of heights. I think I told you that before. And we started up this lighthouse, and inside it was a stairway that goes around spiral staircase all the way out to the top of this thing. And the stairs between them are open. There's nothing down by the bottom. You can just look straight down through, and you can see all the way down. So I started up the first flight of steps, and I got to the first landing, and I couldn't go any farther. I just froze there. My fear of heights just stopped me, and I couldn't go. And Kim's going all the way up. And she says, come on, let's go. I said, I can't do it. I can't go anymore. And she says, well, I'm going up. And she left me there. And she went all the way up to the top. She made her way to the top, and she's looking around at the point of the outhouse, walking around the little part outside. And she says, oh, you ought to be up here. And she said, the view is gorgeous. It's beautiful up here. And I'm yelling, enjoy it. I said, have a good time, enjoy it, but I'm not coming up there. And my fear kept me from missing out on a beautiful experience that she had, that my fear kept me from experiencing. Fear can do that in our life. Fear can sometimes paralyze us. Fear can also keep us from being and doing what God wants us to do, or serving Him in a way that He calls us to. Today we're going to meet somebody who was paralyzed by fear. A man who struggled with fear and had great fears, actually, several of them. And his fear, when the Lord came to him and met him and spoke to him, God calling him with a mission of raising him up to bring deliverance for his people from Midian. And his name is Gideon. A little bit of background again as we begin to look at his story. Israel, again, we're told, had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, as chapter 6 opens, which we see has been the continual pattern through this book. After the judge before them bringing deliverance died, they again fell back into sin. Deborah and Barak had now gone off the scene, and now Israel had fallen back into sin once again. This time, as an act of discipline and judgment on their sin, God allowed the Midianites, a nation from outside, to ravage them. A little bit about who the Midianites were. Moses' wife was a Midianite. And so Moses' children were half Midianite and half Egypt, and half Israelite. But they came into the land, we're told, and so devastated the land every year during harvest time. When it came time for the harvest of the crops to be gathered in, the Midianites would descend in the country en masse, totally pillage the crops, destroy the fields, and carrying everything back for themselves and leaving the people impoverished. They had done this for 7 years. And the people finally again crying out to the Lord, as we had seen. And this time God was going to respond by raising up another deliverer. This time, another savior by the name of Gideon. When we meet Gideon, we find him in the midst of his fear. And we see how God can use all of us despite our shortcomings, as we've been learning. Because we read here that when we first meet him, the Lord came to him in verse 11 and spoke to Gideon, where he was doing what in verse 11? It says he was thrashing wheat in a wine press. Now, why was that important? And why was that important enough that the scripture, that the writer of scripture, Samuel, believed here under the inspiration of God, included it for us? Why did we need to know that when the Lord first came to Gideon, that's where he was, that he was thrashing wheat in a wine press? What shows us a little bit about Gideon and his fears that he had and the kind of man he was in his timidness. Because in Bible times, this is a threshing floor. And when you would thresh wheat in Bible times, you did not thresh wheat in a wine press. That is not what a wine press was used to make, crush grapes to make wine. It was not used to thresh wheat. This is what a threshing floor looked like. And they would get their wheat, and they would thresh it and then throw it up in the air. And we'll show you a picture of that. But it was usually built up on top of a hill. And they would build these threshing floors up on top of a hill so that whenever they would throw the wheat up in the air, the chaff would blow away and the wheat, good wheat, would come back down. And that's why they would do it in a good open place of ventilation up on top of a hill, because that's how they would separate. They'd throw it up in the air, the chaff would blow away, the good wheat grain would come back down, and then they would bundle it. So they would have these threshing floors built on the top of a hill somewhere. Wine presses were not built on top of a hill, and they were not open. This is what a wine press looked like. They were down in the ground, and they would use them to crush the grapes and to make it and turn it into wine. But they were down in the ground, not up in a hill. They're totally different. Now picture it. Here's Gideon, has his wheat, and he's down in a wine press, throwing it up in the air inside a hole in the ground. What's going to happen to the wheat? And the chaff, it's all going to come, boom, back down on himself. The chaff's not going to blow away. It's all going to come back down on him. But why was he threshing it in a wine press instead of the threshing floor? It says because he was afraid of the Midianites. He was afraid that if they saw him out in the open threshing it, they would come and take it from him because they were pillaging the land. That's what they were doing. And so he's doing it down in the ground and undercover, hoping that he won't be found out. He's hiding, basically, and hiding from the Midianites there. And that's where we first encounter him. In the midst of that, it says the angel of the Lord came and sat down under a tree in Ophrah where Gideon was thrashing his wheat in a wine press similar to this. The angel of the Lord here is none other than Jesus himself. The theologians call this a Christophany or a theophany. It's when Jesus takes a temporary form of man in the Old Testament and makes a temporary appearance to talk to somebody. There are several times this happens in the Old Testament. This is one of them, where Jesus himself was coming to Gideon and speaking to him face to face, and Gideon knows that he's in the presence of the Lord as this conversation unfolds. So God came to him and met him there in his place of fear, but he had a message for him. And aren't you thankful that in our place of fear, whatever it is that grips us in fear, God comes to us there, and he brings his presence to us there. He brings his word to us there. He brings his spirit to us there, that we can trust him. As we look at this story together, these verses, we're going to discover several things that we can apply to our life. Because there are five things that we're going to learn from this story that fear can often cause us to do. Often when we're gripped by fear, we can respond in five ways that may not necessarily be the way that the Lord would want us to. Because first thing fear can cause us to do, as it did with Gideon, is that fear can cause us to lose our proper perspective. We lose our perspective of who we really are. Now remember in the story or the movie of The Wizard of Oz, and the fourth main character in that movie on their way to see the wizard was known as the Cowardly Lion. And when he first met, when Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man first meet him on the road, he acts real brave. But they realize that he was just, as he said it, a dandelion. He realized that I don't have any courage at all. But then as they got to the wizard, and the wizard sent them on a mission, and that was to destroy the Wicked Witch of the West and bring back her broom. And at the end of the movie, the wizard gives him this badge of courage. And what he helped them see was that he had that courage in him all along. He just didn't realize it. That he didn't realize who he was. He didn't realize his identity. And that's what fear can do to us, is that fear can keep us from realizing who we really are in Jesus. You say, where do you get that from? Well, let's look at the scripture here. As the Lord appeared to him in verse 11 and through 13, as the Lord appeared to him, the Lord came and said to him, and the first thing the Lord said, verse 11, 12, when it spoke to him, it says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God greets him and says, "I am with you," or "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding out from the enemy. Does that look like a mighty warrior to you? Does that look like somebody who would, you would say, boy, this is somebody who's going to bring a great victory? No. But what does that teach us? That God not only sees where we are, but he also sees what we will become. And that's a wonderful thing about our God, is that he not only knows who we are, but he sees potential in us that we may not even see ourselves, and he knows who we will be. Remember Peter, when he met Peter, and he said, you are Simon, but you're going to become Peter, the rock. You may not be that now, but he said, I see that someday you are going to become rock-like and solid in your faith. Because he sees in us what we will be. Not only where we are now, but where we will be and the kind of person we will be down the road. And isn't that great? Isn't that encouraging? That's the kind of God we are. He looked at Gideon and said, I am with you, mighty warrior. He knew who Peter, who Gideon would be. And fear can kind of make us lose our perspective because we don't see ourselves for who we really are. And if you are saved and you are bought by the blood of Christ, you belong to God, your identity is in him, you are a child of God, adopted into his family, we are an overcomer in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him. And our fear can sometimes keep us from realizing that we are conquerors through Jesus. And we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to fear our enemy who is breathing down our neck, because Christ is with us. We also lose our perspective because we doubt that the Lord is really with us. Not only we don't realize who we don't see ourselves or who we really are, but we doubt God's presence. Look what he says in verse 13. When the Lord said to him, I am with you, mighty warrior. I see who you're going to be. You're a mighty warrior. You may not see yourself as that now. You're trembling in fear, but you are a mighty warrior. That's who I see you to be. First thing Gideon says is, but sir, if the Lord is really with us, then why has all this happened to us? Something about human nature, when we're in the midst of a hard time, or we're in the midst of fear, and God speaks to us and assures us of his presence, we begin to doubt it. Are you really with me? If so, then why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing me to go through this difficult time, God? Why am I experiencing this? If you're with us as you say, then why are we experiencing this hardship? And Our fear can keep us from doubting that the Lord is really here with us. He was standing in the presence of the Lord. The Lord was speaking to him face to face, called his name. He says, but if you really are here, then. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And as I was reading over that verse earlier this week and reflecting on it, and I've read over this verse many times, and I find great comfort in it, but this time what really hit me was, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am your God. And what God was saying to Isaiah and what he was saying to Gideon is, don't be afraid, because I am is with you. And if I am is with us, he's the great creator of all things, we don't need to fear, because his presence will sustain us. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will uphold us, because he is I am. But we can doubt it. If we're all honest, there's been those times in our life when fear has gripped us or doubt has gripped us in the midst of hard times. And we say, and just like Gideon, we say, Lord, are you really with me? Are you really with me, going to get me through this time? You know, and if we're all honest, we've all been there, haven't we? We can identify with Gideon. Why, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? But that's where fear causes us to lose our perspective. And Gideon was in the presence of the Lord, but his fear, and the Lord was with him in the midst of it, but his fear caused him to lose that perspective, to realize that he was in the presence of God. Also, fear can cause us to lose our perspective in that we blame God for our problems that we've created for ourselves. Fear can do that as well and cause us to lose our perspective, that we start blaming God or somebody else for the problems that we've created. Notice what Gideon did. He said, but sir, in verse 13, if the Lord is really with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? And now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian. He's basically blaming God and saying, the mess we're in, and where our crops are being pillaged, we're being oppressed, we're in a terrible situation, and God, it's your fault. Where are you in the midst of this? You've forsaken us. And sometimes, can't we do the same thing? We get in the midst of a hard time, and we can blame God or somebody else for problems that we may have created ourselves. Instead of taking the responsibility, and instead of taking the ownership, because notice, go back up into verse 7. Gideon should have known why this was happening. God did not forsake them. God did not abandon them. He was present with them. But verse 7 says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. And the prophet declared the word of the Lord, who said, this is happening to you because I brought you out of Egypt and told you, don't worship the other gods. If you do, you will be judged. And he said, you haven't listened to me. So what they were experiencing was because of their own sin. They had forsaken God. It was a mess that they had made and created themselves. So often, we lose our perspective whenever we get into a problem that we have created ourselves, and then we want to blame God or somebody else for it and say, Lord, why haven't you gotten me out of this? Where are you in the midst of this? And that's what fear can do, cause us to lose our perspective. Second thing fear can cause us to do is fear can cause us to make excuses why we can't serve God. And boy, I tell you, if we want to make excuses, there's a lot we could give. Notice what Gideon did in verses 14 through 16 then. The Lord turned to him then and said, basically Gideon said, well, why haven't you done anything? Why have you abandoned us? And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? He said, I am doing something. I am present with you. I am sending you. Now go. Gideon's response, fear kept him back. Fear kept him from responding the way he should. And fear caused him to say, well, how can I save Israel? But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. Am I in the least in my family? Fear can cause us to make excuses on why we can't serve God. It was the same thing for Moses. When God came to Moses and said, I'm sending you back to Egypt. When Moses complained to the Lord and said, why have you not heard the cries of your people in bondage? And the Lord said, I have. I'm sending you. And Moses said, you can't send me. I can't talk. I can't be the one to do it. Gideon says, you can't use me because my clan is the one of the poorest and least respected in all of Israel. I don't have a good family upbringing. My family is poor. I don't have the resources. You need to get somebody else. And it was his fear causing him to give an excuse. We too can give reasons and excuses why when God speaks to us, we can say, Lord, let somebody else do it. Or he's leading us to share with somebody God's love, and our fear keeps us from wanting to tell somebody about Jesus. And our fear keeps us saying, well, let somebody else do it. I can't. I don't know what to say. That's the preacher's job. Let the preacher be the one to tell somebody about Jesus. That's not for me. And our fear can give us reasons to give excuses. And if we want excuses, we all can come up with a long list of them. But before the Lord, they're not acceptable. God didn't accept his excuse. And he went on to him and he said, the Lord answered and said, well, I will be with you and I will strike down the Midianites altogether. He didn't accept his excuse. He said, I am sending you and I'm going to be with you and I'm calling you. But our fear sometimes can keep us from serving him. Fear can also cause us to ask God for a sign. And I love this picture. Well, you did ask for a sign, God says. And our fear sometimes can cause us to ask God, well, Lord, if it's really you or you're really speaking to me, you really want me to do this, then I want you to prove it to me by doing this for me and verifying it. Gideon was in the presence of the Lord. The Lord had called him. He made his will very clear to him. Gideon didn't need another sign. He knew who he was in the presence of. He didn't need the Lord to confirm it. But yet, he said, if it's really you, if I found favor in your eyes, then give me a sign that this is really you talking to me. Now, he knew it was the Lord talking to him, but maybe he was hopeful that God will say, I'm not going to give you a sign and let him off the hook. And maybe that's what he was hoping for. But his fear, when we have fear, we're not trusting. We don't have the faith that we need. Fear is opposite of faith. And his fear made him ask God for a sign, which the Lord obligated him. He said, stay here. And he says, if I found favor, wait, don't go away, and I'm going to bring an offering to you. And the Lord said, okay, I'll wait till you come back. So Gideon went and prepared an offering of bread made without yeast and meat. Bread made without yeast and meat, and brought it before the Lord. And he put it on, and the Lord said, okay, put it on this stone. And when he did, fire came from the stone and consumed. And right again, Gideon knew that he was in the presence of the Lord. And he fell on his face, terrified again. But we don't need a sign. That's what we learned last week with Deborah. When God spoke through Deborah and gave Barak the message, he said, I am sending you. Barak wanted Deborah to go because he wanted that picture of that sign or the token of God's presence with him. And Deborah reminded Barak that wasn't necessary. God has spoken to us through his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us an assurance. We don't need him to verify it through some sign. But yet, God here showed his greatness and his glory. And Gideon knew that he was in the presence of the Lord. Fear can also cause us to keep us from experiencing God's peace. When he was in the presence of the Lord and the fire came and consumed the bread, the angel of the Lord disappeared for a moment, but then he came back and the Lord said to him, "Peace, don't be afraid," because Gideon cried out, "I've seen the Lord face to face and I'm going to die." And it was believed that. I mean, no one can look on the face of the Lord and not experience death. And he knew that. And he knew he was gripped with fear again because he was in the presence of God. But the Lord appeared to him and said, "Peace, don't be afraid." We find that message throughout Scripture almost every single time that someone in the Scripture encounters an angel. They are gripped with fear, and the word is, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you," or "peace." And the Lord reminded Gideon, "No, I bring peace. You're not going to die." And so Gideon built an altar there and called it, "The Lord is peace." Scripture tells us in 1 John that love, perfect love, casts out fear. And that's we don't have to fear when we have that love of God. And his peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians tells us, don't be anxious about anything. Boy, and that's hard. That's hard for us. We had a big discussion this past Tuesday night in our small group, and it was a really good one, on worry and concern and anxiety. And one thing we talked about, and we all come to the conclusion in, is that all of us have times when we worry. All of us have times where we're concerned and have anxiety. And when Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, we say, boy, how do we do that? Because we all struggle with it, don't we? And it's when we have that anxiety and fear, it's keeping us from experiencing God's peace. So Paul went on to say, don't be anxious about anything, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when we have fear, we're not experiencing the peace that God intends. And I love this picture of the dove representing the Holy Spirit and peace in the cleft of the rock. And that hymn we just sang, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock," that in the midst of the storms, we can either be afraid or we can have his peace that can sustain us through those times as we learn to trust him and realize that the Lord is peace. And the fifth thing that our fear can cause us to do is that our fear can cause us to act with timidity instead of boldness. God called Gideon and said, I am sending you to bring deliverance against the Midianites. And he gave him here a specific instruction the same night in verse 25. The Lord came to him and said, "Take a second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old, and tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." Maybe we see here, for more information, maybe we see here one reason why Gideon gave an excuse why he couldn't serve God. Here his father and his family, his father was worshiping idols. His father had an altar to Baal in their own house. Maybe that was one of the reasons he said, "Well, you can't use me, you got to find somebody else." But that was another reason why fear gripped him. Because fear causes us to act with timidity instead of boldness. What did he do? He did what God told him to do, and he demolished the altar and the Asherah pole beside it. And he sacrificed a bull to the Lord there. But what does it say in verse 27? When did he do it? At night. Why? Because, again, he was afraid of his family. He was afraid of what his family would say. He was afraid of what others would say or do to him. If we're honest sometimes, if we're all honest, what is one of the main reasons we're afraid sometimes to speak up for Christ? Because we're afraid of what others will say about us, right? We're afraid what they may do to us. We're afraid of people. The scripture says that fear of man will prove to be a snare. And fear can cause us to act, but act with timidity instead of boldness. Instead of being bold in our witness and bold in our faith, we'll do what Christ wants us to, but sheepishly and hope kind of live undercover, and we will serve Christ, but hope nobody nearly knows or asks us. You know, and it's like keeping our light under the bushel so it doesn't shine brightly because we're afraid to. And fear can cause that to happen in our life. And 2 Timothy, Paul spoke to his young son in the Lord, who was a young pastor as he was taking over the church. And we can experience as Timothy traveled with Paul, he had learned a lot from Paul and had seen how Paul in boldness spoke up for Christ and suffered greatly. But Timothy as well had that problem of fear and timidity. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 verse 7, he says, "For the Lord God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." He said, "For this reason, fan into flame the gift of God that is on you through laying of hands." He said, don't be timid, because God didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of boldness. The Holy Spirit is within us. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, as God called Joshua to take over the nation and lead them after Moses, two times God had to say to him, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. But be strong and courageous and do what I've called you to do." Because fear can cause us to run away instead of running towards the enemy. Just briefly as I close. I told you the story before when I was in New York City the first time I went there with my college group. And they took us down to Times Square and they had us on the streets in the middle of the night, witnessing to people. And I told you before how they gave me two women, girls that I was supposed to be responsible for. We went into the one part of the city, and these guys looked at us and said, there, let's get him. And I took off and ran and left the two girls there. Remember, I told you that story. I left them by themselves, and I took off and ran. And my fear caused me to run away from the enemy instead of towards them. And our fear can do that. Our fear will cause us to run away from Satan instead of running whenever boldly and courageously, knowing that he's defeated and we can take him on through Christ, not in ourselves. But instead of running away, we run away, because our fear can do that. And our fear of family and others and what they say can cause us to keep quiet instead of speaking up when we know we should. So fear not. We see in this first part of Gideon's life that fear was paralyzing him, but the Lord met him in the midst of it and was going to use Gideon to do some wonderful things. We're going to see in the next couple weeks. We're going to spend a couple more weeks on his life. But be strong, courageous, put your faith in him, because our fear can keep us from losing our perspective, making excuses, asking for a sign, keeping us from experiencing his peace, and acting with timidity instead of boldness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have come to give us your Holy Spirit, and your presence is with us. You are with us. So if your word is, "Fear not, I am," is with you. Don't be dismayed, because "I am" is our God. But Lord, there's a lot of things that can make us fearful in life, fearful for our health, fearful for our finances, fearful for just a lot of things that we may encounter, fear of the unknown. And that fear, Lord, can keep us from missing out on what you have for us. It can keep us from serving you effectively. It can cause us to lose our perspective on who we really are in you. It can cause us to make a lot of excuses why we can't do what you want us, you're called us to do. It can keep us from experiencing your peace in our life. It can keep us and cause us to act with timidness instead of boldness. Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And we don't need to fear. So give us strength in those times when we are prone to fear. Remind us again of Gideon. How you met him where he was. You didn't leave him in the wine press. You were going to take him. And you saw in him that he was a mighty warrior. Even though he didn't see it in himself. And you were not going to leave him there. And you were going to take him and move him forward, that he was going to become bold and strong and courageous in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you can do that. And you do that in us through the power of your Spirit. And so make us, Lord, into the people that you know that we are as we follow you courageously. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.